Blog Talk Radio.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. And welcome to New Minds. I will start up with opening with the Al-Fatiha. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. And the translation reads, in the name of God, most gracious, most merciful, praise be to God, the cherisher and sustainer of all the worlds, all systems of knowledge, most gracious, most merciful, master of the day of judgment, you do we worship and your aid do we seek. Show us the straight way, the way of those on whom you have bestowed your grace, those whose portion is not wrath and who do not go astray. Ameen, ameen, and ameen again. Okay, thank you for tuning in to New Minds. So what I'm going to be doing today is, God willing, inshallah, speaking to the topic at hand, which is the new revolution, the new mind. Due to my schedule, and I hadn't got a chance to really dig deep into the subject like I wanted to, but I will go over what I spoke of last week, which is pulling out the root, reading, continuing the reading from the Sirah of Muhammad, the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in volume 8. And also speaking a little bit about giving a little understanding or analysis to the movie The Great Debaters. So I will take maybe 20 minutes of going through that and some ayats that I think are very important that was brought to my attention that Imam Muhammad, radiallahu anhu, may peace be with him, said are the opening up to a new mind, some ayats. The first 9 ayats, Surah Al-Mu'minun. So that will take me about 20 minutes, and then what I'm going to do is give my own thoughts about what I said. So I'm asking questions to myself to answer them for myself and for the audience if there are people listening. So what I want to do is remind the viewers of our mission statement here at New Minds is to live in our purpose, helping to build strong community lives while serving the less fortunate, courageously exemplifying good character, working on ourselves first to do the right, to do right towards others. In order to grow a new mind, our goal is to unselfishly celebrate the accomplishments of others, allowing them to shine in their new light, unboastfully empowering others to uplift the weak, to serve humanity. So a reminder, it takes courage to develop your new mind. Now, why does it take courage? Because you are correcting yourself. You're admitting that something is off with your thinking. We have to speak life into our consciousness to begin our awareness. We have to birth our new mind and nurture it repetitiously. For some, repetitious learning is a good thing. That's the way I learn. I'm a visual learner and also a rapid learner. When I hear things over and over again, it really helps me not understand the concept, but it feeds me. It feeds my mind when I hear things over and over again. Okay, and what I'm going to do now is read from these ayat in Quran. This is Surah Al-Mu'minun. I'm reading the Arabia firsthand. A'udhu billahi min shaitanir rajim. Qad aflaha al-mu'minun. الذين هم في صلاتهم خاشعون والذين هم عن اللغو معرضون والذين هم للزكاة فاعلون والذين هم لفروجهم حافظون إلا على أزواجهم أو ما ملكت أيمانهم فإنهم خير مالون فمن ابتغى وراء ذلك فأولئك هم العادون والذين هم لأماناتهم وعهدهم راعون والذين هم على صلاتهم يحافظون أولئك هم Excuse me, listening audience, I got cut off my line. But continuing, those the surahs, subhanAllah, excuse me, the ayats that I just read from Surah Al-Mu'minun in the Quran, I'm going to read the transliteration of those ayats. Give me 1 second. And again, this is to remind our listeners who are Muslim that these are the ayats, the opening to a brand new mind, which was said by Imam Muhammad, which I was told. Surah Al-Mu'minun, the first 9 ayats, and when I think of the number 9, I think of birth. We carry children in the course of 9 months. The Quran was revealed in the 9th month to Muhammad the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to the world. The 9th month, which is Ramadan, an exciting, exciting, beautiful, beautiful time for Muslims all over the world. Alhamdulillah. 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 Okay, so I'm reading the transliteration of Surah Mu'minun, the first 9 ayats. A'udhu billahi minash-shaytanir rajeem. Successful indeed are the believers, those who humble themselves in their prayers, who avoid vain talk, who are active in deeds of charity, who abstain from sex, except with those joined to them in the marriage bond or the captives whom their right hands possess, for in their case they are free from blame. But those whose desires exceed those limits are transgressors, those who faithfully observe their trust and covenants and their covenants, and who strictly guard their prayers. Ameen. So these ayats, again, I'll be entering, was said by our beloved Imam. May Allah elevate him in the Jannah and reward him for his body of work that continues to live. So he mentioned these are the first ayats that are introducing you to a brand new mind. So, speaking, just reviewing some of the things from the movie The Great Debaters, I thought that this was a very good tool for me to re-study, re-look at. Initially, when the movie first came out in 2007, produced by yours truly, Oprah Winfrey, co-writer is Robert Ezeli. I don't know the first writer, but the writer, one of them is Robert Ezeli. Denzel Washington, of course, portraying Melvin Tolston. Movie took place, the story took place in the 1930s, late 1935. I'm believing this is the time of the Harlem Renaissance. And what I loved about it is that he really challenged his students. And when you think about the time and the era that they were in, it was the Jim Crow era. So there were a lot of things that, you know, you can put your thinking around that those students and the whole society at that time had to face, you know, those kind of laws and coming into this new revolutionary of thinking, trying to introduce to the world the world of white people, a new way of thinking, but a new way, not only that, but a new way of looking at things. And I just love the way I love the whole content of the movie. So when I think about A New Mind, I think about I think about language, you know. It was said in one of my classes, when what language are you speaking? What language are you speaking? Whose language is you speaking? Whose language is it? Is it your language? Why are we speaking it? Who are we speaking to? Is the message being conveyed reachable to the person or audience? How is the message going to impact their lives in the present and in the future? Will the message live on to where the healer will carry the message into the future for future generations to carry on? To going back to the plowing, last show I spoke about the plowing. What is plow? Speaking, because I was reading from the Sirah, and this term came up, plough, plow, in order to grow into a new mind. It means to open, break up, or work with a plough, plow, to move through like a plough, to proceed laboriously. So the work is not done. And I'm going to say it again, even from the civil rights movement, we have came a long way, but I can't help but to ask the question of was civil rights and human rights, did that coexist? Was it separate from each other? Because it's a totally different thing. So was some of those citizens during that time are great people? Were they trying to just get the laws passed? Because was law not did it not coincide with humanity? Because today when you look at the laws in place, which was many acts of, you see the act, Civil Rights Act of 1984, there are many different things that were passed, like the right to vote or the right to have public housing, you know, different things like that. Was that not those questions come to my mind because that's when you think of that, that's just, you know, for your well-being, you know, for you to, for someone to have housing or to, you know, to want to live a decent human life, a decent life to provide for their families. So when I think of those questions, I can't help to ask. It's civil. Excuse me. My earphones just. That's my ear, sorry, but is civil rights different from human rights? I think that it's a whole different thing. Or you can, you know, I can easily ask, you know, did we have to evolve? Did we evolve in the right direction after those particular laws was passed? And if so, this is I guess a rhetorical question. If it did evolve in the right direction, why are we still fighting for those laws to be in place? Why is Congress, who is predominantly Republican, you know, why are they trying to change those laws or trying to stop those laws from being practiced or being pursued by the people who really need those laws to be in place. They need public housing, social welfare reform, you know, things like that. And why aren't the simple things, Bill of X, being rolled? I just got a email from Congressman Keith Ellison. He's asking people to survey. I don't know who he is endorsing. I'm not interested in that at this time. But what he wanted to know from the people, what kind of acts did they want to see, or what progress had they seen, or what have you. But what I'm like a grassroots person, so I'm looking at healthy community lives, healthy developmental education for our children. That's the main thing. So my main issue is the drugs. What about getting the drugs out of the community? That's simple. I don't know if that's like, that's not no valid point to argue, but it's simple. You get the drugs out of, you know, these low-income areas where it's predominantly minority people. If you get the drugs away, you know, that's number one into, you know, into evolving into the first level of a new mind to begin that new mind. You know, God aflaha, successful indeed are those who believe. Well, you know, when I just looking at the word falaha, one of the meanings of falaha, we spoke about that too in our class, in my Quran and linguistics class. But falaha is to come to success, is to be successful. And some, it also means many things, and while we're on that, my mind is telling me, okay, look it up and share it. So what I'm going to do is look up falaha. That's the root word, aflaha. You take the aleph off, it's falaha. So let me... Again, sorry, you guys, for my malfunction going on here. So I'm looking up the word falaha to share with the viewing people what this term mean and how does it relate to revolution and evolving for you to evolve into your new mind. Remember, I think I spoke about the process of that to have a new mind. You're just not automatically going to have a new mind. I think I described it as a plant. As a plant, you have to, you know, the plant takes time to grow. It doesn't come into the world standing already. It has to get those vitamins, those nutrients. It has to get the things from the earth that it needs to begin to grow into what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created it to be. And then it becomes something beautiful if you nurture it in the right way. So falaha, to till the earth, cleave a thing. Aflaha, to be successful, lucky, live on. Falaha, prosperity, safety, success, both in this life and in the hereafter, to unfold something in order to reveal its intrinsic properties, till and break open the surface of the earth and make its productivity powers active. The English word plough, P-L-O-U-H, which I just read a few minutes ago, seems to have been derived from it. Yeah, it's very similar in meaning. It is one of the striking beauties of the Arabic that its word in their primary sense denotes a state, which, when realized, convey the import of the same thing. This is well illustrated in the word falah. Falah, when we call the prayer, the al-kiyama, falah means to come to success, not only means success, but also signifies what constitutes real and complete success. So this is a vast, vast meaning, and we can go on and on all day about this term, but I wanted to share that because it really coincides with evolving and revolution and revolutionizing the mind. So those are the questions to ask. I'm going to read them again. What language are we speaking? Whose language is it? Why are we speaking it? Who are we speaking to? Is the message being conveyed, reachable to the person or audience? How is the message going to impact their lives presently? And will the message live on to where the hearers with the S will carry that message into future generations? So looking at the term, when I think about civil, what is civil, civil obedience, or what is civilized and human, how does that coincide with each other? Civility, civilized conduct, politeness, courtesy, a polite act or expression. That means civility. Now, civilized, to raise from a primitive state to an advanced and ordered stage of cultural development. Refine. It also means to refine. So that was civilized. Now, civilized with the ED is the characteristic of civilization. Characteristic by taste. Refine it or restrict. So these are the terms connected. And I'm reading this because it's a reminder. It's a reminding. It's a reminding for me and for those who are seeking a new mind, because this we have to be reminded, you know, about those times, you know. So I spoke of the Great Debaters, which was took place. That was way before the Civil Rights Movement, probably not too long. I don't know how long the Harlem Renaissance lasted, but it was in the 1930s. So fast forwarding that, so after that revolution of humanity to the Civil Rights Movement, so it seemed like maybe what was civil, what the definition of those people at that time that was civil to them, civil and human was, you know, it did not coexist apparently, because we were still, you know, our situation was still the same, you know, with the dogs being, you know, our people getting bit and killed by the police, all of that kind of stuff. I want to bring those sentiments up, but this is important because when you think of the revolution, with, you know, people, that's what they go to first. But we're still in a time of revolution where I think it has to be revolutionized. And, you know, we're in a civil war. You know, in most of these inner city communities or neighborhoods around the country, there is a civil war, not only among, you know, with us against, you know, the police or whatever, but us against ourselves. We're killing each other. That's why I don't understand that sometimes. It's like you can't get upset, you know. Well, you can and you should get upset when one of, you know, ours, one of the police kill ours, of course, but when we kill each other, it should be in the same, with the same measurement. You know, we have to be just, especially as Muslims. We can't, you know, say this is wrong, but this is okay. It's like, you know, I was listening to his name was Henry in the movie Great Debaters. His name is Parker, Nat Parker, I believe. Yeah, but he did a great piece, 15-minute piece on YouTube. It's called American. So it's Ameri and then the word can, C-A-N. It's a very insightful in the content of what the message was, just like, so he makes you think. I love artists that makes you think, you know, to help you become better. But he was talking to the panel, so I forget what show it was, something like CNN, but there were two police on the panel with one host, two African Americans, a brother and a sister, and they were talking about Ferguson. He was Nat Parker was speaking about his project. I forget what it's called, but just YouTube him, and he will come up. But the way that he was organizing and getting a message out, it started out with Ferguson, and the police was trying to justify, of course, the killing of this young man with, among others. Speaking, you know, in the concept of, well, if he would have just abided by the law, he would have still been here, you know, that kind of talk. You know, I don't want to get into that, but Parker's rebuttal was, you know, well, you know, you're an exception to the rule. He was even telling that to the host, you know, because everything was going back to justify the law is the law. Nothing's wrong with the law. So, therefore, don't ask questions. It should be fine. But, you know, they knew he would ask questions. That's why he's there, just to give them insight. You know, this is the mind that I appreciate. I really, you know, I appreciate him, you know, because he was saying, we're the exception to the rule, you know, so just follow the rules. Follow the yellow brick road, you know. That's just like an inflection of mine that I use. But it was very, very interesting the way he handled that. And I really like that. That was nice. That was good stuff. So moving on from the term civilized. So I read some of the root connections to the word civilized. Civility, civilized, and civilized. And you can put this civilization to those terms because it's all the same. So what is revolution? Okay, the action by heavenly body of going around in orbit. Motion of any figure about a center or axis, one complete turn, rotation, a sudden, radical, or complete change, the overthrow or renunciation of one ruler or government and substitution of another by the government, bringing about a major change. So that definition, the last one about the government, can easily be related to politics. It's like my mind automatically go to, you know, the political climate of the world. But in the context of our new mind, revolutionizing our new mind and our new way of thinking, that's how I think that we should look at revolution. So we have only 10 more seconds of the show, and I couldn't cover all the things I wanted to. So if I have said anything to offend anyone, that was not my intent. And if you have any questions, my email, EYE_C_US@yahoo.com. Any questions, any comments on improving my program or what have you, is welcome. Thank you. Have a wonderful day or evening. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.